You are listening to The Nature of Things on WRVO. This essay originally aired on February 19th, 1993.
Last week I talked about thinking spring. The next day I was shoveling snow. One of the few times I've had to do it this winter. Such exigencies, as I said, are typical of February, when some massive low-pressure areas, all their machinery in full operation, assail us with oceans of snow, and we struggle and fret until the low is passed. Later, as sunlight performs its magic, we begin talking about the beauty of it all, perhaps even decide to take to the freshly cleared roads, or plan a cross-country skiing or snowshoeing trip to revel in that beauty. Meanwhile, all wildlife that can will be securely encouraged in some secure retreat and will venture forth only when necessary. It's at times like this when we can judge the relative ability of wildlife to ride out a storm. Coon, skunk, and deer tracks may disappear for a brief time, but mice and cottontails and varied songbirds will be prominent in this network of tracks left in the fresh fallen snow. Meanwhile, predators, especially hawks and owls, ever ready to take advantage of these moments of opportunity, will leave a scattered record of their forays, wing marks here, talon scrapes there, sometimes an oleo of fur, feathers, and blood. The lull that follows the storm is a time of fruitfulness for those who venture forth, their curiosity piqued. Have you ever wondered why February weather is so capricious? Don't ask me. I wonder too. But I suspect we should look at the combination of a migrating sun, going north, put that in quotes, and in the complexity of weather conditions in varied places where storms can originate. I talked to my daughter Joni in Georgia yesterday, and she told me that the temperature was nearly 60 and that the crocuses are pushing their way out of the ground. It's hard to imagine a storm involving a deep freeze building from those conditions. Interior Canada, on the other hand, was in a deep freeze, with a bulging area of high pressure and low temperatures invading the northern central states, a promise of clear, cold days, or at least cold days ahead. But wait a minute. How about that low developing in Texas? It looks pretty powerful and is definitely headed our way. In fact, the way those things go, it will have hit us full force by the time you hear this. I don't have any computer models before me to predict the course, but it looks suspiciously like that high would impede the northward flow of the low enough to give us a bunch of snow, even out of this basically southern storm. See, that's the thing of it. That low is like a funnel receiving inflow in a counterclockwise pattern from 360 degrees, north, east, south, and west. Flow from the north is cold, and since lows are weather machines, we can expect plenty of snow in its northern sector, with rain perhaps, including thunderstorms, where waves or fronts separate air masses to the south of the low. Usually rain will precede it until it hits the north part. You can't presume either that what we said on Sunday's map will hold, for as a storm approaches us, it all rotates counterclockwise. What do I think will have happened when this storm reached us, maybe on Tuesday or Wednesday? How about this? Punxsutawney Phil will finally have escaped the clutches of the press agents and have found a mate. Increased snow will have pinned down some wildlife, even closer to ground zero, and thousands of motorists will be longing for Florida, Arizona, or California, and welcome to it in my estimation. My schedule calls for at least one half day out there, seeing if anything new has transpired that's worth talking to you about. Admittedly, sharing with you isn't my primary motive for getting out. I'd rate losing a little weight, toning up rusty muscles, and seeking a moment of amazement all above my role as an interpreter. Without them, my career as a nature color commentator would be short-lived. I've had some super February storm experiences in areas from Brookfield south of Utica to Little John north of Williamstown and along the east shore of Cayuga Lake, buffeted by a stiff cold westerly. Animals involved included deer, grouse, snowshoe hare, possum, red fox, porcupine, great horned owl, and a number of ducks, including golden eyes. Sometimes I suspect all of this talk makes me sound like some kind of an expert tracker, reader of sign, observer of great philosophical trends. Not so. I've never been in the field with a veteran trapper or coon hunter who I didn't think knew a lot more than I did about what was going on out there. My specialty is serendipity, the capacity to have unusual experiences that are so clear in their meaning that even I can draw a lesson from them. I just try to keep the opportunities flowing. I urge you to do the same. Well, that's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.